with cans and tubes, the materials to spray new antennas onto the hull. Kirk came up close enough almost to touch helmets with him. "That wasn't smart, kid," he snarled.
Back on Hunter's Bridge, Doran sat heavily in the command chair. Elverda took the smaller seat beside him. "I've been thinking about your question," he said slowly. "About what to do once we've recovered the last of the bodies." Elverda looked at him questioningly. "What will you do?" she asked. The human side of his face almost smiled. "I suppose what I will do is try to find a way to die."
"No," she gasped. "You mustn't."
"What point?" The comm computer's message light began blinking. Elverda touched the receive key.
"This is Ore Ship Syracuse," came a weak voice, barely audible over the crackling hiss of interference. "We are damaged and need assistance. 3 people aboard. Propulsion system down. We are adrift and need assistance urgently."
"Syracuse?" Doran gasped.
"You know the ship?" asked Elverda.
It was several moments before he replied. "Doric Harbin tried to destroy it."
Ore Ship Syracuse, Family Quarters. "He was using his suit radio to call for help," Kirk said, his face set in an angry grimace. Theo stood between Kirk and Nico like a prisoner under guard. Volker lounged completely at ease in the big armchair that had been his father's. Pauline was on the sofa, sitting tensely, her fists on her knees, her eyes on her son. "I do that whenever I'm in the suit," Theo improvised. "It's my normal routine." "Is it now?" Volker asked, one eyebrow cocked dubiously. "We didn't hear any distress call from you when we found you," Nico said. "I was just about to send out a call when I heard your message," Theo said. "Why call for help when we're already here?" Kirk demanded. Volker answered before Theo could reply. "Because he's scared of us, that's why." "Isn't it, son? You see a gang of roughneck scavengers, and you're worried about your mother and sister, right?" Theo hesitated, then admitted, "That's part of it, I suppose." "Can't say I blame you," said Volker. "Mighty courageous of you, really, trying to protect your mother and sister." Nico piped up, "What's the matter, kid? Don't you trust us?" Getting to his feet, Volker said, "I wouldn't trust us, Nico. Not if I was a young lad facing a shipload of desperados like us." He placed a strong hand on Theo's shoulder. "But you see, son, there's a matter of salvage rights here. We found you, and it would complicate the situation if somebody else showed up." "We're not salvage," Theo snapped. "We're not abandoned or adrift. This ship is occupied by its rightful owners, and we're on a course that'll take us back to Ceres in a few months." "Are you now?" "Yes," said Pauline. "We are." "We'd only be salvage," Theo said, "if the ship was abandoned." "That can be arranged," Kirk said, with a smirk. "None of that now," said Volker. "The boy's right. This isn't a salvage operation. We're here to help these people." Kirk started to reply, but caught the look in Volker's eye and snapped his mouth shut. To Theo, Volker said, "You don't have to be afraid of us, son." "I'm not your son." "Now listen," Volker said, a little more iron in his voice. "I'm not your enemy. We can help you, but you've got to trust us at least a little. We're fixing your antenna problem, aren't we? We're going to transfer some of our fuel to you. What more do you want?" Theo had no answer for him. He simply glowered at Volker sullenly. Pauline got to her feet. "Theo, you're tired. Why don't you go to the galley, make yourself some dinner, and then go to sleep?" He looked into his mother's eyes and saw that her suggestion was really a command. Nodding, Theo said, Okay, Mom. And take these gentlemen with you, Pauline said, gesturing to Kirk and Nico. They must be hungry, too. Tight-lipped, Theo repeated. Okay, Mom. He left the family room, Nico and Kirk marching behind him like a pair of guards. Volker turned back to Pauline. Alone at last, he said, grinning. I don't want them to hurt my son, Pauline said. Now why would they do that? You know perfectly well. If you kill the three of us, you can bring the ship back to Ceres and sell it as salvage. Volker nodded. True enough. Or we could put you into the command pod and send you off. No blood spilled that way. But you'd be murdering us just the same. That's what they want to do. Volker jerked a thumb toward the hatch that Kirk and Nico had just gone through. Pauline's chin rose a notch. And what do you want to do? Me? Volker's grin faded a little. I'm not a killer. I'm more of a lover. Pauline said to herself, so there it is. Out in the open. He's offering me our lives. But for how long? Can you keep your crew under control? She asked. He nodded wordlessly. I don't want any of them touching my daughter. Volker puffed out a breath. That will be a pretty tough assignment. Or hurting my son. Hell, we can let him join our crew. The boy's got nerve, I like him. But my daughter's got to be safe. From all of them, including you. Spreading his arms in a gesture of complete agreement, Volker replied, If you're willing to let me share your bed, why would I be interested in your daughter? She looked into his eyes. Greenish-blue, hazel eyes. The kind that changes color. The kind that can't be trusted. But what else can I do? Pauline asked herself. What else can I do to keep Angela and Theo safe?
Aboard Hunter, Doran stared at the communication screen as if he could make it light up by sheer willpower. The message isn't being repeated, Elbeva said. No, said Doran, and it was very weak, almost as if it was made from a spacesuit radio rather than a ship's comm system. No visual. I have a fix on it, though. Doran said, tapping on the comm keyboard with his mechanical hand. You attacked their ship? Doric Harbin did. When? How long ago? Just after Chrysalis, Doran said, his voice barely audible. Nearly 4 years ago. We must go to their assistance. He nodded slowly as he opened a comm channel and said, Attention, Syracuse. This is Hunter. We've heard your message and are coming to your assistance. Glancing at the navigation display, Doran added, Estimated time of arrival at your position, 30 hours. Please confirm. No response. Nothing but the hiss from the sun and stars. Doran looked at Elverda. They don't reply. If her message came from a suit radio... Perhaps they didn't get our message. Perhaps they can't reply, she suggested. You take over the comm console, Doran said. Tell the computer to repeat our message with updated ETAs. He turned to the navigation console. I've got to plot a course to their position.
Strangely, Pauline felt neither apprehension nor excitement as she led Volker to her sleeping compartment. She felt numb. I'm doing what I have to do to protect the children, she told herself. I'm doing what I have to do. As she started to slide the compartment door open, Volker's pocket communicator chimed. Damn, he muttered, fumbling it out of his tunic pocket. Pauline could hear the voice from the tiny speaker. Somebody's answering the kid's distress call. It's the Hunter. They'll be here in 30 hours. Hunter? Check it out with Ceres, and already did. It's the same Hunter. Two people aboard, one of them a woman, no weapons registered.